Anything good needs a little editing, right? I'm Daniela Fierro, producer of Vermont Edition. We've edited this podcast for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening to our show.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Today is primary day in Vermont, an exciting day of civic duty and democratic participation. But there's also an undercurrent of political tension, especially if you have strongly held views that differ from friends, neighbors, or loved ones. It's a part of the democratic process that can get messy. If this describes you, how does it feel to know that the people closest to you are voting against the very policies and politicians that you care so deeply about? Or maybe some of them even sat out an election that matters to you. Do you feel like you failed in convincing the people you love to vote the way that you firmly believe that they should? Well, today on the show, we are going to share some tips for having honest, open conversations that forge connections across party lines. Yes, it is possible, even in the midst of a contentious presidential election. Our guests today are both from the group Braver Angels. It's a national organization that runs workshops, debates, and events where people of all political persuasions come together to understand one another's positions and hopefully discover some shared values along the way. Braver Angels has local chapters all across the country, including here in Vermont. We are joined today by Lincoln Earl Centers of Montpelier. He's been Vermont's state coordinator for Braver Angels for the past few years. Lincoln, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
You too. And we are also joined today by Shauna Ratner of Fairfield. She's the co-chair of the Franklin County chapter of Braver Angels. Shauna, welcome.
Thank you, Michaela, and thank you for raising the visibility of Braver Angels.
We're very glad to have you. I should note, too, that Braver Angels has partnered with Vermont Public on our StoryCorps One Small Step efforts to bring voices from different political perspectives together in conversation. And I'll explain exactly what that means at the end of this segment. Lincoln, I explained a bit about what Braver Angels is. I'm wondering if you can give us a bit more of an in-depth overview of how it works, particularly in this region.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Braver Angels is a national organization and movement, so there's activity all across the country, locally, in person, but also online. And the main things that Braver Angels focuses on is to hold space for people to engage across differences, particularly political differences, and also to teach and practice skills and strategies so that people can build confidence and feel more courageous about engaging when there's conflict and disagreement.
And I'm excited to share some of those tips during today's conversation, too. But first, can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to get involved? When did you first connect with this group?
Sure. I got involved when early in the pandemic in 2021, that winter, there was a New England-wide alliance that met on Zoom and was a great group that once a month would hold a discussion. And so I got involved when it was all sort of a digital activity, but I found it to just be a really enriching space where people were able to have conversations that felt like people were holding space with each other in a way that there wasn't self-filtering going on and that people could air their sort of sincere perspectives where there were differences and talk about contentious issues. And so I was immediately intrigued and then became more and more involved and have just really appreciated how countercultural it feels to create space together to really engage across differences rather than in the information silos and in the social silos that happen where we tend to just be around people we agree with and see things similarly with.
Mm. Maybe that's one of the bright sides of the pandemic, too, that opening up of our time that led folks to have new types of conversations or just, you know, settle into Zoom meetings in the ways that they didn't before. Shauna, you got involved with Braver Angels a couple years before Lincoln. The 2016 elections was a really pivotal time for you, right?
Yes, it was. as we all know, they were the results of the 2016 elections were very startling to a large proportion of the country, including myself and many of my friends. And I started to hear people saying things that I thought were very dangerous, like, I hate those people. I wouldn't want to be in the same room with those people. And I thought, wait a minute, those people live in this country just like I do, just like you do. This country has lots of issues and problems we need to solve, and we'll not be able to solve them if we demonize each other. That's just not going to work. So I thought about what I could do, because I'm one person. And I realized I have a pretty strong set of facilitation skills, and I felt pretty confident that I could create the kind of safe space that Lincoln was just describing. And I found out about Braver Angels and their efforts in Ohio to do just that. At that time, they were called Better Angels. So the name has changed, but the group is the same. And so with that as a notion that was shared now with others around the country, I thought, well, I'm going to try this. And the first person of a different political persuasion who I recruited was my neighbor, Dan Pipes, who we're going to be speaking with later.
Yes, he'll join us later today. We're at the polls right now.
Yes. And Dan is, he'll tell you about himself, but he and I were friendly enough neighbors, and we knew each other well enough to know that we were very much on different sides of the political spectrum. So when I asked Dan if he'd be interested in such a group, and he said yes, I thought, huh, maybe I can really do this. Mm. And so we ended up on the 2017 bus tour, national bus tour that Braver Angels ran. And we collected 60 people in St. Albans, Vermont, half red and half blue, roughly. Some of them took a workshop on skills that we'll talk about in a minute. And some of them joined a workshop that I led with David Blankenhorn, who's the leader of Braver Angels, that was called a red-blue workshop. And those people got to know each other through that workshop. And at the end, I said, do you want to continue? And they said, yes. And I said, how often? And they said, once a quarter. So we have been meeting once a quarter, at least, since 2017, July of 2017.
Wow. That's a remarkable achievement, especially in this day and age. What are some of the topics that you have discussed most recently?
Well, one of the topics we discussed recently, very recently, was whether or not it makes sense to shorten the time, the campaigning time for national elections. Hmm. Many countries have a much shorter period than we do, and I can't remember specifically which ones have what period, but sometimes they're as short as 12 days or 14 days when people at the national level are allowed to actually actively campaign. As we know, our campaigns seem virtually endless. And there are definitely cons to that in terms of how people are distracted from doing their work and because they're busy raising money and launching the next campaign and all that kind of stuff. And what was interesting about the conversation was the more we talked, the more we realized that it wasn't just about shortening the time period. It was really, at the end of the day, about campaign finance reform. Mm-hmm. And so as our group does, we will circle back to that topic at some point and see if there are some things we can agree on as to what would make sense with respect to campaign finance reform. Hmm. We often find we can agree on the what, and agreeing on the how is much more difficult. But we've had some success in that area as well.
Interesting. Lincoln, what are some conversation topics that have bubbled up for you in recent months or the past year through your work with Braver Angels?
Yeah, well, one of the projects that I've been involved with on a national level has been a project to engage different perspectives on the COVID experience, what people went through. And that's been an interesting project, working with public health leaders and with citizens across the country. And we formed a sort of new workshop around that as a theme to really give people a chance to come together and share their experiences in the spirit of Braver Angels, of being able to really humanize each other across the differences and come up with a space where people can, really describe to each other where they're coming from and relate to each other. So often, especially with a contentious issue, whether it's COVID or any of sort of the big political or social issues of the day, it's so easy to get stuck on the information and that people are getting their information from different sources and don't agree on what facts are and just quickly get stuck in the mud. And so what we did with building a workshop for that was to really get people to tell their stories and to hear one another and to be able to articulate what their personal experiences were before sort of getting into the content of the disagreement. So that was an example of, you know, just a topic that we held space for and had some rich conversations about.
Mm. Well, we love deep listening here at Vermont Edition, too. Listeners, if you have a story to share about connecting with somebody across political lines, give us a call at 800-639-2211. Or maybe you need some tips on how to do that. You can call us or email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. Ahead of today's show, we got an email from a listener named Cher, who writes, "I am married to a lifelong Republican. I am a lifelong liberal independent. When we first met, he was the kindest, most liberal, and honest Republican I'd ever met in my life. I never anticipated the changes that would come about with Trump's ascension to the presidency in 2016. To say that life has become a challenge would be to simplify a very complicated personal relationship. Because of the dissonance in the political atmosphere in the country, conversation in our house is limited to family issues and convivial subjects like the weather. People like me are caught between wanting and needing to express our political viewpoints and needing to keep peace in a household. I'm hopeful that the election goes to Harris and Walz because I believe that is what would be best for our country and, quite honestly, the best for my relationship with my husband." Well, Cher, thank you so much for being so open with us and sharing your story. Shauna, I'm curious what your thoughts are hearing Cher's experience.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is, Cher, you're not alone. There are many, many people throughout the country who are suffering in various ways because of political dissonance, whether it's in their workplace of work or their marriage or their friendships. You're not alone. And, what I would say is that the foundation of Braver Angels is a foundation of respect. It's a foundation of trying to listen and trying to understand. And, the way that the fans of the flames of dissension are fed by the media makes it very difficult to pull away and get back to what's true for us as individuals, not some soundbite that we've heard somewhere or something that we've read or some conversation on social media. And I think that's the space that Braver Angels tries to create, a space that allows people to connect as individuals. And I wonder, I certainly can't offer anything specific to your situation, but the fact that the person that you met is different from the person that you're encountering now suggests that person that you met may still exist there somewhere. Mm. I hope that you're able to reconnect in that way. That would be a beautiful thing. Mm. And it is difficult.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out, Cher. Let's go to the phones here. We have a call from Dan in Essex. Dan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm the co-chair of the Chittenden County, and I think it's interesting how I got involved. My wife heard about the Braver Angels on the radio, and she said, "Dan, I think this is a fantastic opportunity for you. You're on the red side, and it sounds like these folks are having these open, honest conversations that you're interested in." Lo and behold, I go to the Chittenden County Braver Angels meetings, and it was just that. It was fantastic. I could not believe the discourse that took place, the politeness, the open-mindedness, and the honesty of all the people that participate. It was so absolutely refreshing that I decided to join. And I'm the co-red chair there.
That's great, Dan. Can you tell us one topic maybe that you've discussed in recent months or years that felt like a particularly fruitful conversation to have with folks on the other side of the aisle?
Oh, absolutely. We spoke about the Constitution at one of our events and what we thought it was, what the stereotypes are of the red and the blue. And we had to speak from the red perspective. And the one thing that really came solidly out of this is the Reds believe that they appreciate and they value the Constitution as it is. The Blue side had a very interesting point. We appreciate the Constitution and love it as well as an aspirational document, but we know that the forefathers were smart enough to say it can be changed, and we're trying to make the country better from our perspective. So it's not like one appreciates it more than the other. we see it differently. And I was like, I get that. You know, I really appreciate that comment, because you hear the Reds say we're all about the Constitution, but the Blues are too. And the Blues understand that it's aspirational and believe we can be better. And how can you argue with that?
Well, Dan, thank you so much for calling in. That's Dan, who's the co-chair of the, excuse me, Chittenden County Braver Angels Group. We have to take a quick break here, but Lincoln, first, just briefly, could you tell us, we've mentioned some of these different chapters that are in the region. What are the ways that people can get involved?
Yeah, well, braverangels.org is the website. There's an events calendar there, and there's often online activities, workshops, and engagement that people can do. And then we are just creating new local initiatives. So if anybody's interested in bringing this work to their local area, we can help foster that and bring these activities and conversations to their local areas, along with skills workshops.
Right. Now, Shauna, you are what's called the Blue co-chair of your chapter. We are joined now by Dan Pipes, who is the Red co-chair, and your neighbor, who you mentioned earlier. Dan, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, Michaela, thanks so much for having us. It's great to get the word out. I really appreciate that.
Dan, tell us where you are today. What are you doing?
I'm at the Fairfield Town offices in the Chester A. Arthur Room, and I'm working the polls, assisting the town clerk and the JPs as, checking people in and helping people, explaining the balloting process. And then we'll be back at this evening to, should there be any write-ins that need to be certified and counted. Basically, we're just ensuring the electoral integrity of the process.
Great.
Which is extremely valuable today, I think.
And I'm glad you brought that up, electoral integrity, Dan, because in talking to your co-chair, Shauna, I hear that has been a topic of debate in your group recently, this discussion of free and fair elections in our country. Some folks say that they are. Some folks believe that there might be issues there, and trying to figure out how to talk about that and if it's even responsible to talk about it. Could you give us a little bit of insight into how that conversation's been going with Franklin County Braver Angels?
Sure. With the caveat that this is mostly Dan's opinion here. So, as I've said often, I'm not always right, but rarely in doubt. So, I think it's to have a nation our size and to insist that there are no electoral inconsistencies is just disingenuous. So, the way I approach this is I'm involved at my local level, and I can look anyone in the eye with 100% certainty and say, I know that our process in Fairfield is done correctly every time. And that's how I take care of this. I can't speak to what happens in pick the town, Alexandria, Virginia, Bismarck, North Dakota, LA. But I can tell you in our little corner of the world, I'm comfortable with it, and I find that's valuable.
Yeah, Shauna, how does it feel having conversations with Dan about elections? Do you two agree, disagree? How do those conversations go?
I would say, by and large, Dan and I agree about elections and about the importance of election integrity. I think the issues that we have been beginning to try to unravel with our group have more to do with how you talk about these things.
Yeah.
And the extent to which acknowledging the fact that some people on any side of the political spectrum may have doubts, whether they are, whether you would consider them legitimate doubts or illegitimate doubts one way or another, they may have doubts about the integrity of the process. Is it okay to acknowledge that fact, or does acknowledging that fact give it too much credence, right? I think that we all believe that our local elections, certainly, and I would go so far for myself, speaking for myself, our statewide election system has a lot of integrity. So if we acknowledge that some people have doubts, we encourage them to get involved to learn more about what is true in the system, are we simply inviting them to broaden their personal experience and hopefully test some of their assumptions? Or are we adding fire to the flame, of the idea that elections are crooked.
Mm. Well, to dive more into this conversation, you'll have to go to the next chapter meeting of the Franklin County Braver Angels. Dan, before we let you get back to your work at the polls today, we're about to share some tips on having these types of conversations with people in your community. Is there one maybe piece of advice that you'd like to share today that's been helpful for you?
Sure. Particularly today, and it seems more so now than when we started, there is so much language that is loaded or coded, and we all have our blind spots. And so while a statement that may seem perfectly reasonable to an individual from one perspective may actually be really offensive to someone who has a different belief or a different understanding of what that term means. So being aware of it, it is hard work, but understanding that we all have blind spots and being able to get to a place of genuine curiosity and say, hey, I don't see that. Can you explain to me from your experience how that term has evolved and what it means to you? Because I'm just not seeing it. So, and it's hard. It can get very heated, and that's one of the things we try not to let it get terribly personal, because people tend to shut down if they are attacking or feel attacked.
Yeah.
So it's not easy work all the time, but it's always rewarding.
Yeah. It's a careful dance. Well, Dan Pipes, co-chair of the Franklin County Braver Angels chapter, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day, this primary day, to call in.
Michaela, thanks so much. I've got to get back to it.
All right, go for it. Well, let's return to our studio in Montpelier, where Lincoln Earl Centers is. He's Vermont State Coordinator for Braver Angels. Lincoln, could you share a tip of yours, maybe something that's been helpful to you recently in having conversations across political lines?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'll tie it into one of my favorite anecdotes from one of our workshops. We call it the eavesdropper experiment, and the idea is to consider whether the person that you're disagreeing with feels respected and understood by you. And also for ourselves, what does it feel like, the difference between feeling respected and understood versus not? And what I notice is in our culture, there's so much promotion and incentive around disagreement and having strong reactive feelings, to really just slow down and to try to avoid the pitfall that I see a lot of happening, where we conflate listening to somebody with agreeing. And I think it's really important that we put the brakes on and recognize that we can show somebody respect and understand where they're coming from, and separately disagree strongly or be disturbed and let them know what our genuine reaction is. But to really make the step of having that, exercising those skills of civility, of making sure that people feel respected and understood even while we disagree with them or feel disturbed by what they're saying.
Mm. Thank you for that. It's a great suggestion. I want to go back to the phones. We have Michelle in Burlington calling in. Michelle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm actually in Jericho, but I'm calling in because for two reasons. One is to share that I've taken some Braver Angels workshops, and I'm actually the incoming blue co-chair for the Chittenden County Alliance. And I had the amazing experience of applying skills I've learned through Braver Angels and techniques to connect with my brother. We're both in our 60s now, and we had just an amazing over an hour long conversation about things we've never dared talk about. I'm gay, he's not. He had a lot of concerns, questions, issues about with that. And then we got into all kinds of cultural stuff and political and economic stuff that we have never dared talk about. And we were able to have a challenging but really, really meaningful conversation. And I attribute my ability to be able to do that to the skills I've learned through Braver Angels.
Oh, that's great.
And so I can't say enough about it. And then I just want to give a shout out. You know, in Chittenden County, I know a lot of folks who see themselves as Republican or red or conservative probably feel like they don't have a voice in Chittenden County because we're so blue. And I just want to say our alliance is here, and we welcome you, and we provide a space that is safe for your views. And we need your views, and we want to hear your views. So I invite folks to come and sit in and listen and see how our alliance works. And we just would ask that you reach out to us ahead of time if we can contact folks and talk to folks and let them know, you know, where it is, when it's happening, and how it works.
Michelle, thank you so much for calling in. Michelle is a angel ambassador for the Braver Angels group in Chittenden County. Sean Ratner with the Franklin County chapter. When we first talked, you shared a number of very helpful tips with me about listening and about speaking as well. Can you share a few of those with us now?
Absolutely. So there are really four buckets of skills that we talk about in Braver Angels. The first one is tone setting. And the second is listening skills. The third is speaking skills. And the fourth is handling difficult moments. And the fourth is important because sometimes we are unwilling to get into conversations that we think might go south because we can't imagine what we're going to do when that happens. So those are really an important set of skills. But I want to start with tone setting because this is where it begins, right? If you want to have a conversation with someone whose views you think are different from yours, you don't want to just launch into the conversation. You really want to set the table and be able to say to that person, look, I would be really interested in understanding your point of view better. Here's my point of view, and I'm guessing that yours is different. Would it be okay if I asked you some questions? So what does that do? So that gives the person you're talking to a sense that you are respecting them, you're giving them space, and they have the opportunity to say, you know what? No, I don't want to talk to you about this. Okay. You know, you're done. You go on to the next person.
Yeah.
But if they say yes, then you begin to have a dialogue. Then there's something that's grounded in respect. They're not forced into it. They're not, and they might say, you know, not right now, but I'd be love to do this, you know, another time. Let's try next Wednesday.
I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure that I get to Lincoln here too. But we're going to collect some of these tips that you've told me about and share them on our website for today's show. It's under the Vermont Edition section of vermontpublic.org. Lincoln, briefly, we got a call from Judith in Brattleboro, who has some tough service, but I believe Judith is wondering how to get involved in Braver Angels if they're not in an area where there's an existing chapter.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that in the coming year or two, we have local engagement for people in all the regions of Vermont. And part of what that will take is for volunteers to step forward and learn to be leaders. So going to the website, braverangels.org, there's a place where you can look to see contact info for your local alliance. And you can find my email, which is learlcenters@braverangels.org. But If you want to reach out and get in touch and find out about bringing a skills workshop to your area or what it might look like to get a group started, I can help with helping to foster that in the area that you're in.
Lincoln Earl Centers in Montpelier, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
And Shauna Ratner of Fairfield, thank you as well.
You're very welcome.
Election years bring an onslaught of news coverage, some interesting and useful, some not so much. This year, Vermont Public has been trying to be extra transparent with our audience about how we are shaping our elections coverage. And many of our stories and conversations are based on things that you told us that you care about. Recently, I checked in with the executive editor of Vermont Public's newsroom, Brittany Patterson. She's been leading the charge on this election reporting model we've adopted called the Citizens Agenda. I found the conversation to be really interesting. I hope you do, too. We're going to share it with you now. Here's Brittany.
As we were going into this election season, a lot of what we were thinking about is how can we be in the most service to the audience? And there's actually really interesting data out there that shows that the traditional horse race election coverage, who's up in the polls, who's down, who held a press conference, et cetera, it actually leads to less trust in both the candidates and the media. It doesn't do any favors for female candidates or for third party candidates. And ultimately, voters don't feel as informed going into the voting booth. And so we wanted to do something different. We really wanted to take our cues from the public. And that is why we've adopted the Citizens Agenda.
And you said this a little bit, but when we talk about how it differs from traditional election coverage, maybe you could give an example of the type of story that we're doing this year or the type of coverage that you're seeing out of Vermont Public that's different than what folks might have seen in a previous election cycle.
Citizens Agenda is really like an issues-based approach. So far we've heard from about 600 Vermonters, which is really exciting, and about 60 issues have come up. And I think what you will see in the next couple months from the reporters here in the newsroom is coverage that really digs into why some of these issues like climate and the environment or affordability or taxes are rising to the top of what people want candidates to be addressing and talking about, the things that matter most in your everyday life and thus like you really care about on a policy, from a policy perspective.
And I also add that it was really fun and informative for our Vermont Edition team to incorporate these questions and important topics from Citizens Agenda into how we shaped our primary debates for the Democratic candidates for governor and the Democratic and Republican candidates for lieutenant governor. And if you listen back or watch those debates, you'll see and hear how many questions from you all, not just from us, went into those debates. So what are some of the things we've learned so far? What issues do people care about?
Our top five are climate and the environment, followed really closely by housing, and that includes both affordable housing and the homelessness challenges that we see in the state. Taxes and affordability were a big one, education and healthcare. So I think nothing that seems that surprising when you really think about it, and nothing that I think our reporters were surprised about, but I think it's been really powerful to see that tangibly backed up by the types of questions that people have and the specifics that they want candidates to get into in order to address some of these issues.
Mm. And Brittany, can you also talk about how these comments come not just from Vermont Public's core listeners, but from folks all around our community? Because you've done a lot of work to try to do that kind of outreach.
Yeah, one of our main goals, if not like the main goal of this effort, this election season, is to really get out into the community. We always joke that, you know, we're listener supported and community supported, but it's really true. And one thing that I wanted to prioritize was to make sure that we weren't just hearing from the amazing listeners and readers that we have, but that we made a conscious effort to go into communities and places and meet people that maybe aren't listeners, but still are going to vote and still are interested in this information. And we've also set up what I've been calling like reporter office hours, where you reporters take a little table and set up at a community location, whether it's a library or a cafe, or we've been at transfer stations and gas stations, general stores. We've been all over. Our goal is to make sure that we get to every county more than once, and we're on our way.
So, Brittany, you are steeped in local news day in and day out. But did anything surprise you about what folks wrote in to tell us?
Yeah. You know, in addition to the issues, we had a lot of folks talk about how concerned they are about the future of democracy more broadly and really wanting tips and a framework to be able to talk with friends and family about some of these really polarizing issues, and hearing a lot from people that they're worried that in this time of divisiveness, they aren't able to have those conversations, even in a place like Vermont, which I think has prided itself on being able to bring people together to really talk to your community. Mm. The other thing that I think is interesting is, you know, we got some notes as a newsroom. People really want us to press candidates on how they're going to pay for things. And I don't think that's surprising considering what we've seen with, you know, property taxes in the last year. But I think it's a great reminder and a really nice mandate for our journalists to be like, you told us this is what you want. Happy to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And I also will say on that like note about fears around the future of democracy, I feel like we in journalism see ourselves as hopefully trying to uphold democracy, at least our one small part of it here in Vermont. And for folks who are listening to this and are like, oh, this feels a little navel-gazing. Why are you telling us everything that you do about how you make your choices? Well, I think the important part here is that we're kind of pulling back that curtain. There's a lot of distrust in the media right now. And our goal, at least with this conversation, is to be like, here's how we're making that sausage. Like, now you know. Now you can be a part of it.
Absolutely. And this is, like, as I said, this is still an evolving project. We absolutely still want to hear from people. The agenda could change. The top issues could change. And you'll see, you know, your feedback and your questions in our general election debates, in our voter guide for the general election. And then we're going to start seeing reporters kind of dig into some of these issues and some of these questions that were raised specifically.
Brittany, any shout outs to upcoming events that folks should be aware of?
Yeah, we, in addition to doing these like little reporter on the ground community meetings, we've also carved out three kind of larger picnics in St. Albans, Newport, and Rutland. And we've got the Newport Ice Cream Social coming up on August 28th. And there'll be free ice cream from Ben and Jerry's. And we'll have reporters stationed around the park to just like have an in-depth conversation with you about what it is that you care about, what is really working in your community, what could be a little bit better, what media could be doing to better serve you, how we could be more helpful. It should be a really fun time.
That was the executive director of Vermont Public's newsroom, Brittany Patterson.